Hey guys, welcome back to Through the Eyes of a Bobcat with Ansley, Teddy, Julie, Aaron, and Caroline. This week's episode is racial injustice and movements throughout time. I'm Juliana Rossi, and we're going to be talking to Ansley Hill.
To elaborate on the overall topic of our podcast today, let me explain what racial and social injustice means. It's the racial inequality of power and opportunities distributed within society. First, we're going to get into the issues and activism we see on this topic, following up with a couple of questions we have for our CA, Jess, to gain another perspective.
Now we're going to be getting our CA, Jess's opinion on social justice events. How do you feel about social justice events? Do you think it's still important to publicly fight for injustice?
I do believe that fighting for injustice should still be a big part now, and that it has grown since like the 1960s and the civil rights movement. And it's like an outlet for people to get their voice heard on things they think aren't being done in the community.
What do you personally think is the best way for social justice events? Do you think signing petitions is a good way? What do you most likely prefer?
I would say, like you said, signing petitions. But another good thing that I'm starting to see is like a lot of people have started to actually like sit in on meetings like for their county, or like try to like have a mini protest in front of like state capitol, but like an effective meeting to where they get the point across, like, hey, like we want these certain things done, and we're not okay with certain events. So like, you know, just like getting their voice heard on many topics that aren't being discussed.
What do you think is expected of the future? Do you think it's possible for our country to break the cycle of history repeating itself by ending racism?
I do believe that we can end the cycle with racism, but probably not at this very moment, because there is still that stigma of people learning like racist ways, I guess, at home. Like, it starts at home. And I would say, like, if we want it to stop, then of course you would have to like start teaching your children like this is the way of life, like there should be no reason to be racist. And then also like teaching that history in school, and then implementing that, like how our national anthem and our Pledge of Allegiance, like we're created equal, so like we should have equal justice and everything else.
What do you think it'll take to end this cycle of racism?
Education most definitely would start, and then like people also using their privilege to help out, and also like people understanding that they have privilege. So it's just not like white privilege, like everybody has privilege. Like me being in college is a privilege, because not everybody can be in college, or someone being able to have food on their table, that's a kind of privilege also. So it's just people understanding their privilege in different aspects, and like using their privilege to amplify the voices that aren't being heard.
How do you think past social groups have affected the way we currently protest?
So the civil rights movement has most definitely shown like a lot of how Black Lives Matter protests have been going on. And then I would say the same with like another minority group, like the Pride Alliance group. Like Pride had their own setbacks, and now they have a whole Pride parade. So I would say like having those like stepping stones to like create a bigger influence on others has helped with like social justice.
And what past social groups do you think had the biggest impact? Obviously the civil rights movement, but are there any other that you think had a great impact on our country?
I would say like maybe the women's rights movement, because that's helped us with the women's rights to vote, and then also to be in like the workforce and being in the military. I would say that is a big part also too.
What do you you think is a respectful way for white Americans to get involved in social reform?
Ways they can get involved, like I said before, like using their privilege, and then also like being there for social events, helping write petitions and being there and just staying educated. Like, education is always like a good thing to have, so you're better aware of what's going on.
Well, thank you for letting us interview you.
All right, thank you for having me.
Jess was just talking about fighting for injustice. She said sitting in on meetings and protests effectively help us move along in this growth. Growth will not happen today or immediately, but it will over a long time happen eventually. By education and realizing privilege, we can grow in this aspect. Being there for social events and more oppressed groups will help this grow along as well. During this podcast, I learned that there are more oppressed groups inside of an oppressed group. It's called intersectionality. Just like Breonna Taylor was murdered, but her case came out like 3 months after George Floyd's, they're both black individuals, but she's more oppressed because she's a black woman. And that's why her case was shown 3 months after her death.
Jess talks about how racist mindsets sometimes start at home, and there's been a constant stereotype that black people are bad and dangerous. This is a factor when dealing with the police and our justice system. An example of this social injustice is the Central Park Five. Five boys were falsely accused of raping a woman in Central Park. Race was a big factor in their conviction, and it makes you wonder how much the black stereotype comes into play with others being convicted. Black people suffer from this stereotype and are seen as thugs. This is mainly because the white cultural mindset, which states that many white people believe they are superior and think that racism doesn't exist. Like Jess was saying, it's important to continue our fight for social justice and to be anti-racist. Learn from history and move forward, but realizing racism still exists today.
In her interview, Jess talked a lot about how education and privilege has a lot to do with race in America. I thought it was really interesting the way she pointed out how everyone has privilege, and one of the best ways to combat racism is using the privilege that you have and acknowledging it. I also thought that it was really interesting when she talked about the different minority groups that also helped bring light to the racism in 2020, like the Pride parades and the protests and riots after George Floyd's death.
Part of the interview I enjoyed was when Jess talked about different ways to fight for social and racial justice, some of them being petitions, others being sit-downs with police and the other people that are being oppressed. I thought that was very interesting, and I thought it brought good ideas of how to face the situation and the issues that we as a country and people face today.
In this podcast, we have talked about the racial groups and the oppression they experience. Hate crimes against races still happen today in today's society. Recently in Atlanta, our hometown, Asian Americans were targeted and attacked, just like many African Americans have been throughout history and presently. This shows that races are still targeted and the system silences it.
Listen to a clip from When They See Us on Netflix, episode 1. This is when Tron is being interviewed and his dad is telling him what to do.
Tron, these police will mess us up. They're not playing. They're not. Look, when the police want what they want, they will do anything. Do you hear me? Anything. Lie on us. They will lock us up. They will kill us. I ain't gonna let them kill my son.
You can honestly hear the desperation in his voice because he knows the system uses race like as bias.
When Tron's dad says they will lock us up, he's referring to the black community, and as he is a black person, he's talking that they will lock the black people up because that's how this social system works.
Yeah, adding on to what Julie said, I think it's really sad that the Black community sees the police as such an enemy, because the police is supposed to be there to help us, but they can't see them as that.
Especially having to explain it to his son, who's in such a tough situation at such a young age, of all the historical oppression that their people have faced.
This reflects onto our topic because, unfortunately, When They See Us is a real-life story, which means the Central Park Five truly experienced these forms of manipulation, the false accusations, and corruption of the police. They're supposed to be helping them, not tricking them into being criminals. It shows how innocent African Americans are not only discriminated against by society, but they're also targeted by the justice system as well.
I thought the show was really interesting, but it also made me really sad because I didn't even know this event happened until the show came out. But I think it was really good to bring to light some of the issues, because things like this happen every day. And even though it's not always publicized, like, it's important to acknowledge.
I think that's true. Like, as us being white, like, every single one of us in this group and in this class are white, like, we honestly all talked about it as a class, and, like, we never had to face anything. We've never had to deal with that. Like, we do have white privilege to a point, and it's something that we've never had to be in their shoes. So being in this class and having this podcast has just taught us and made us learn through, like, the struggles they go through every single day, whether it's evident or not. It's just how they live their life.
Another thing that we also learned from this class was that there are many different ways to approach these movements and how to acknowledge the injustice that these races are experiencing. Like, it's way more important to not only spread anti-racism, but to donate and become parts of organizations and join the protests to actually attempt to change these policies.
Yeah, just like in the book that we read, How to Be an Anti-Racist, the colorblind and there's only one race and I'm not racist just, like, promotes that. Like, it just deters from speaking about race, and it's just like everybody doesn't have the same idea of it, so it's just a turn talking about race and finding a solution.
Even though the Central Park Five happened years ago, like, racism still exists today, and things like this are still happening because racism is institutionalized within, like, our healthcare system and in our jails. That's why there's, like, more Black people in jail today. And there is that bias that Black people are dangerous, and it is a big factor when dealing, like, with the police and our justice systems.
And also how kind of Julie and Jess mentioned privilege earlier, and how we talked about recognizing as part of being anti-racist in the book we recently read. I think that's definitely a big part of the first step in social justice.
You have to jump in. Like, you can't just sit back and sitting back and, like, listening to racism. Like, there's going to be no change if we just, like, learn about it and see it. Like, none of us are Black, like I said. So we need to be the change. And when someone's being racist or something like that, being silent is being racist. Like, you need to make a change.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was also interesting about the book that we read talking about policy changing and how, like, activism isn't activism unless there's policy changes. I think that's really important and very true, that although, like, public activism is important, ultimately nothing's going to change until the policies change. In conclusion, in our podcast, we listened to an interview from Jess RCA,
and we listened to a clip from the show When They See Us from Netflix, and those are two different perspectives that we received.
I think both of them were really important to look at different social justice and social injustices throughout history, and it gave really good perspectives that we hadn't seen before.
It shows the social injustice movements that we need to take and have been taken in the past that will change racism forever.